Succession number 4602, reel number 6.
Brigadier Sherman, reel 6. What was your impression of the role of the mechanized squadron in particular during peacetime and in war?
In peacetime, the mechanized regiment had already been operationally employed in the Jordan Valley, preventing penetration across the Jordan of the Arab irregular forces. And I think that the knowledge and the training they received in that operation was found very useful in patrolling similar areas such as the Euphrates during the war, when crossings of the Euphrates by smugglers who we reckoned were probably intelligence agencies employed by the Axis powers, there was a great deal of that went on, we were able to use the Trans-Jordan Frontier Force in patrolling these crossings of the Euphrates, and we hope are preventing a great deal of this going on.
And to what extent did you feel that the Trans-Jordan Frontier Force was playing the role of creating an army for Jordan itself when it should become independent?
None at all. I think one must remember that Trans-Jordan Frontier Force was essentially a colonial force. The Arab Legion was being built up to become the Jordan Arab Army, and I think it is significant that in the event there was almost a reversal of the recruiting procedures. When the mandate was given up and the Trans-Jordan Frontier Force was disbanded, that many of their local officers and soldiers were re-enlisted into the new Arab Legion. Whereas in 1926, it was the disbandment of the Arab Legion that gave us our recruits to form the Trans-Jordan Frontier Force. Most of the equipment was handed over to the Arab Legion. I think probably one of the saddest things, as I understand it, I wasn't there myself, was that all the horses, rather than hand them over to anybody at all, were shot. In particular, the stud. We had developed an Arab stud as a remount centre for the cavalry regiment, right throughout its history, in fact, of the Frontier Force. And we were very careful that these animals should not fall into the wrong hands and be ill-treated, as so many of the ordinary Arabs do treat their animals.
Did you feel that the war played a role in preventing the Trans-Jordan Frontier Force from becoming the core of the Jordan Arab Army?
I don't think it was ever the intention for it to have that role at all. As I say, it was essentially a colonial force, and so long as it was in fact raised as a resource to assist in the mandate, it was part of the mandate from the League of Nations in the protection and defence of Palestine and Transjordan as viable states. And when we handed back the mandate, the Transjordan Frontier Force was no longer required.
And what was your general impression of life in Jordan for the Arabs?
Well, it was getting better and better. When I first went out there, it was really very a very sparse existence. There were no tarmac roads of any sort, except for a short distance round Amman itself. Even the road down to Jerusalem via Jericho was not a tarmac road. It was only a track. Or, no, perhaps it would be better called a metal road. But mainly one was moving about the country on tracks and made across the desert. And in the more civilized parts of Jordan, where you had agriculture, forestry, that's to say the 50-mile band of territory west of Ammon, bordering the Jordan Valley and the Dead Sea. There again, there was no tarmac roads, there were a few metal roads, but very often these degenerated into nothing more than tracks.
Now, what was your impression of the different groups of Jordanians that you had to deal with?
There were very few different groups of Jordanians. The Jordanians were essentially from one tribe, the Beni Sakha. And in the south of the country, there was another tribe, the Beni Anasia. But these were the two major tribes that really were Jordanian in the sense that we know them now, and were sort of dedicated to the Hashemite kingdom, or to the Hashemites.
Did you find that your attitude to a local soldier or officer would be affected by whether he was a Christian or a Muslim or a Bedou or a Circassian?
No, it was basically the same. I don't think one ever drew any distinction. There were exceptions. I think certain villages had a certain reputations. It depended very much. Assault, I think, is one of the villages that is well known in history. I think you'll find it mentioned even in the Bible as being a difficult area. On the other hand, down the villages, the old Crusader villages like Madaburg and Akarak, people from there had very much a character of their own. They were very Christian.